Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 80 for the week of June 2nd, 2010. Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Albor.
I'm Scott Chester.
And we're the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And today we're going a little bit off the map.
Mm-hmm. We're leaving broader culture here.
Yes, we're going to the Middle East. And we will be talking about The Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, the movie. Yes.
Yes.
Little known fact, movies these days are sometimes based off of video games.
Yeah, who would have known?
Usually they're not very good. So we decided we would jump into that dark pool for you and bring back some word.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie is out in theaters now. It's based off of the original Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time video game,
mm-hmm.
which was created by Jordan Mechner.
Mm-hmm.
The franchise itself, of course, created by Jordan. The movie itself is touted as a large Jerry Bruckheimer film.
Yeah.
This is the guy who brought you
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean, yeah. Probably most notably, mm-hmm. recently. And he's the producer on this film. And I think you could see his touch a lot, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
It's directed by Mike Newell, who directed Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, a few young Indiana Jones mm-hmm. scenes as well, which mm-hmm. is interesting. And it stars Jake Gyllenhaal and
Gemma Arterton, is that her
Gemma,
name?
Yeah, Arterton, I believe.
Okay.
She's the princess mm-hmm. of Persia, and
no, not of Persia.
Whatever. That's it's in that area. It's in the.
No, she's on the border. They invaded her place.
Oh, so she's not Persian? I have been misled.
This is a good thing to talk about when we talk about the game as well, because they kind of do a similar thing. But at first, maybe we should just talk about, because you know, video game movies have had a checkered past.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, we've had such hits as Far Cry, Blood Rain.
The Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
Anything by Uwe Boll.
Pretty much everything by Uwe Boll.
But anyway, I don't know. Just putting this out there right now, this is probably the biggest video game movie ever.
Yeah, I would say so,
As far as, like, budget and pedigree.
Mortal Kombat?
But I mean, even the Resident Evil movies, which they've made a lot of them, you don't get Jerry Bruckheimer's name on there. You don't get an actual movie star like Jake Gyllenhaal to be in it.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, this is a new thing, I think, for video game movies to be on the same tier as, like, not quite a Pirates of the Caribbean tier, obviously, but something above Mortal Kombat or Resident Evil.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we should say that this podcast is going to contain spoilers for The Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time video game.
Yep.
Very explicitly in the beginning. If you haven't played this already, you need to go out and play it.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely in my top 10 video games of all time.
It's very, the weird thing is I just finished playing it again today as we record, and it's amazing how influential it was.
Yeah, so if you haven't played it, you've got no excuses. Go pick it out. Go check it out. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But that will be spoiled. We'll be talking about that.
Yeah.
However, we will try not to say any spoilers for the film until we let you know.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
No plot stuff.
Okay, so that being said, a quick synopsis of the film. It has a completely different plot line than the video game.
Mm-hmm.
It does involve a prince.
There's a dagger.
There's a dagger of sand time rewinding abilities.
Uh-huh. There's an evil vizier.
There's an evil vizier. Yeah, there's a...
Of sorts.
There's a hourglass. It's not really...
Yeah, it's kind of... It's functionally an hourglass.
And there's some kick-ass parkour.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The end.
The end. So, Scott, what did you think of the film?
This is the best video game movie ever created.
Okay. That's not saying much.
No, it isn't. It isn't. But I also think that this film is better in almost every way than the latest Indiana Jones movie.
Yes,
I agree. Is also not saying a whole lot.
True.
I also think it's better than maybe the second and third, or maybe just the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I never saw the third, because the second one I thought was bad enough.
Good for you. It was bad. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's bad in that big action blockbuster way.
And I think that's... that's kind of the appeal of the film, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to for us to say, at least for myself, to say I want to measure the film in two ways. One, as a movie itself, yeah, and a movie sure. that knows what it's trying to do,
yeah.
Which is to be a big blockbuster, summer blockbuster, bring people out to mm-hmm. the theater for action.
Yep.
And the second measurement is as a video game movie.
Yeah.
So to start off with as an action movie...
Yeah, just as a flat-out film, what's this? Yeah.
It's still absolutely that Jerry Bruckheimer... visual spectacle. Yep. At least it's aiming for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's aiming for the heights of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of quick camera cuts, slow-mo. When they can justify explosions, there's explosions.
Yeah, excessive visual effects.
Yeah, yeah. There's just a lot of flash going on. You know, that's very... Of its time. It, you know, it's a very, like, post-MTV-style movie.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't think that it's really that well done as a movie about communicating what's going on in the film, like on screen.
Yeah, definitely.
We were talking about the fight scenes, like for example, like how they were shot, right?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. when some of the fighting scenes are just not very exciting.
Yeah.
They tend to be shot very close up.
Sure.
And so you tend to lose track of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prince of Persia movies, and really any period piece before guns and ammunition, although for some reason there's fire grenades in this one, swordplay is really exciting and fun to watch. Yeah. It could be really cool.
Yeah.
And especially something like Prince of Persia, where he uses the environment...
It's going to be artistically done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the action scenes just weren't very fun.
There's a lot of quick cuts, so you never really see the full impact of a movement or the full effect of a move. So it's hard to kind of gauge what's happening in a fight, who has the upper hand, until it's done and you see the person that has been stabbed and then it's over.
Yeah, 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 definitely. And I would say that it suffers from that same kind of thing that the other, Pirates of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. the sequel, suffered from,
yeah.
which is just that kind of, I mean, to some extent, it doesn't even have as good of set pieces.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like the budget was even a little bit less than Pirates.
Yeah, the budget was about like 150 to 200 yeah. million, I believe.
Don't know where that money went, but I mean, but you're right. In the first Pirates of the Caribbean, there was that really neat initial sword fight between Jack and Orlando Bloom, and they were inside of a mill, and they were like fighting on the mill turning around, and like they got their swords stuck in the machinery, and so yeah. like it's very there's stuff happening, but in the Prince of Persia, it's just kind of people hacking at each other, and you don't even really see the ramifications of the hacks.
Yeah, yeah, true, true.
It's not, and it also stands in juxtaposition to the game, because in the game, it's a widescreen view all the time. You're kind of zoomed out when you're fighting, and so you're used to seeing the prince flip around and seeing what happens with each sword swing and seeing the consequences of what's happening. And it's very different in the movie, where you're like seeing people's faces for most of the time.
Although it's funny because both the game and the movie use probably a little bit too much slow-mo.
Yes.
for our benefit.
Yeah.
The game, interestingly enough, does it to emphasize his physical movements,
yeah.
to show him taking that strike.
Yep.
Because it's a PG-13 movie and you can't cut some dude in half.
Yeah, and plus they're real people and not sand demons.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. not sand demons. You can't really capture that same effect.
Yeah.
And so the slow-mo was, by and large, kind of unnecessary. There were some cool scenes where Jake Gyllenhaal, as the prince, you know, bounced off a couple walls and tackled a guy on a horse, which were cool.
Yeah.
One of the early scenes in the film, which is storming one of the major cities,
yeah.
was probably the coolest part of the film, I thought.
Yeah, and because it has that... I was thinking about this as I was watching it. This is the Uncharted movie.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, because he's kind of this guy who's very physically talented. He clearly knows his way around parkour and swords and stuff, but he's always kind of getting beat up a little bit, and he kind of slips, and he never sticks the landing like a gymnast. He's always kind of stumbling around,
yeah.
which fits with the prince persona, I think, overall. But yeah, that initial scene that you're talking about is really neat, because he succeeds in scaling this crazy wall, but it doesn't go completely according to plan.
Yeah.
And this is like, it's weird because, I was just thinking about Uncharted when I was watching it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's also, it gazes on the vista quite a bit in the beginning, trying to get you into the feel that, you know, this is a Persian capital.
Yeah.
These cities are amazing. And it's quite a visual spectacle. It actually looked really nice.
Well, like, the vista shot was a complete, like, either the reimagined 2008 Prince of Persia or Assassin's Creed.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And also, he wears a black cloak and hood for most of the time, which makes him look like Altair.
Absolutely, yeah. It definitely had that feeling. Well, there's one point in the very beginning where he's standing on a ledge,
yeah.
and the camera zooms all the way around him getting a vista,
yeah.
and you almost hear the faint high cry of a hawk.
Yeah.
You know? Very Assassin's Creed-ish.
How about, should we go into the dialogue a little bit? Because I felt like there was some weirdness going on with
sure.
how it was.
Such as?
Anytime the princess opens her mouth, and also the prince to a certain extent, it's all exposition.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever they stop, it's like, okay, why are you doing this? Well, there's a magical sword, and my brother killed my brother, and this happened, and now I'm going to the magical cave. And it's like, we get it. Like, you could just go to the magical cave without telling us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually, there's one part in the beginning, and I won't spoil it for anyone, but it's really super obvious and really kind of awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that.
Yeah. It's I feel bad for the princess because she's the worst. Like, anytime she has a line, it's always to kind of justify her existence in the film, which is, like, it's fine. She's already justified. She's the princess. She protects the dagger. We don't need to hear, like, what she did in third grade to train for her dagger training.
Dagger
thing.
Training.
Yeah, it's like, we don't
How need... How she got her, like, guardian dagger badge?
Yeah, we don't need her merit badge tale. Like, yeah. We're okay with that. But that happens all the time.
Yeah, I think that it's weird because I should say that this isn't the type of movie you go to for the gripping storyline.
No.
It's clearly not something you enter because of some great dramatic plot twists.
Yeah.
That being said, the exposition is really too much.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It comes to a point where it really slows down the film quite a bit. I think the film suffers from a lot of pacing problems.
Well, because you knew whenever someone opened their mouth, it would just be two people kind of talking at each other.
Right.
And nothing would be happening while they were, you know, while they were doing anything.
And to go along and dip a little bit into the story as well, a lot of the exposition seemed to try to explain why physically they were in a certain geographic area
yeah.
that they had no reason to be in.
Yeah.
There's quite a few places, one in particular in the middle of the film, that is just kind of shoved aside and there's really no reason for them to ever go there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I thought the movie really lacked that the game had, actually,
mm-hmm.
which is that sense of physical space and the sense of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, why things exist. I mean, you have to already... When you're playing the game, you have to suspend your disbelief as to why so many pressure plates and blades coming out of the walls would exist in the first place.
Yeah, speaking of which, there are no killer blade saws.
Yeah, I was really surprised about that. I think there's only one booby-trapped room in the entire movie.
Yeah.
It's like
a pit trap.
90% of the game is booby traps, basically. Yeah. And there was less than even Indiana Jones, I would say.
Yeah.
So you never have any kind of, like, you know, basic platform type things. It's mostly focused on exploration and combat.
Yeah, it was really strange.
Yeah.
One interesting thing, though, in terms of the space, is in the Sands of Time game, and I think in the two sequels, but not maybe even the latest Prince of Persia, the camera follows a certain track to show you what the room looks like and how you're going to progress.
Mm-hmm.
The movie does this in the beginning.
Yeah.
Exactly. It shows everywhere that the prince is going to move to.
Yep.
And it's just a nod to the people who play the game.
Yeah, and they rarely do that after that point.
They don't do it ever again. Yeah, I was looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that I think is silly is that, you know, it's a silly nod.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you don't always have to appease the gamer in the audience.
Yeah.
Although, I have to say, I was really amused by
it. Yeah, I laughed when
That being said, it gave a physical sense of what the area was like.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we lose with Mike Newell's choppy camera work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they had done that later on in the film,
yeah.
especially in some of the scenes where he's doing parkour maneuvers, we would have had a much better sense of what it's like for the prince to traverse through the environment.
Yep.
We kind of lose that sense. Even though the parkour, I think, in the film is very good,
mm-hmm.
there's still a lack of...
We don't really get to see it.
Yeah, and it doesn't retain the atmospheric feel of it, of a prince traversing a physical space.
I mean, if they're going to hire a white dude to play the Prince of Persia, they could have just hired Jackie Chan to do it and had a Chinese Prince of Persia and, like, had actual parkour stuff going on that they could film at a wide angle.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the movie suffers because it's not that, right? It's not trying to go for that realistic approach to
Even realistic. I mean, like, does it suffer because it doesn't hew closely enough to what the games were about? right? I mean, because our least favorite points in the Prince of Persia games are fighting, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone, it's basically agreed upon that the fighting in Prince of Persia is probably the weakest part of the entire series, no matter what game you're talking about.
Yeah, true.
And the really important parts of those games were how they influenced people, later game designers, how they influenced them in creating three-dimensional environments where you have to move around in them.
Right.
And the movie doesn't really do anything about how you move around in a physical space.
Right.
So I feel, I don't know, thematically, it feels kind of similar to the game's theme, and there's a princess, and they kind of have witty banter and some sexual tension.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And it feels very much like the Prince and Elika, or the Prince and Farrah.
Yeah, I would say Elika in particular. It was very, like, back-and-forth banter.
And even the prince himself is a pretty neat combination of the Sands of Time prince and the new Prince of Persia. Like, he's a little bit of Nolan North, and he's a little bit of, you know, High English prince.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have some, like, witty comments here and there, and then they have some, like, super serious comments.
Yeah. Excuse me, princess.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it doesn't... Like, you know how the story of a game is not just its plot, it's also its gameplay.
Yeah.
And I feel like they don't really fully explore that secondary plot.
Yes. In the film, you mean.
In the film, yeah. Yeah.
Again, I think that's to criticize a bit more of the action in the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because, you know... We know that the prince is capable of really cool things, and we see some of that. I don't want to downplay some of the cool parkour that we see in the, in the movie.
And it's always entertaining.
Yeah, and I think the movie is entertaining, and I do think that it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it suffers from the same reason that the game suffers. A lot of it is just not good action, not good fighting.
That's really hilarious that it's, that they fell into the same pits that, that the game falls into.
The sand pits.
Yeah. So should we now go into... I don't know. So what do you want to do? Like, spoilers of the movie and game now? Because I think there's some deeper things that we can explore as to, like, the prince and the princess's relationship and how they handled that.
Yeah, okay, so let's jump into that. Real quick, before we do, final thoughts on the film. Is there anything you think people should see this movie if they liked the game?
I think it's actually true to the game's feel. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some things that happen that are very serious... And there's some things that happen that are kind of kooky. And I feel like that's what the Prince of Persia is in this day and age. I mean, it has enough lighthearted moments, just like the games have lighthearted moments. And it's not, you know, it's not trying to tell the story of Lawrence of Arabia or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and it's not trying to be like a Jet Li movie. It's something a little bit in the middle. Like I said, I mean, you could go way worse.
Yes,
don't absolutely. Don't see the fourth Indiana Jones movie. See this instead.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it's a better adventuring and plundering kind of film.
The relationship is better and more believable. Like, I mean, it's just... It's not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're going to go out and see a film, I mean, you could go way worse.
Yeah.
I'd much rather see this than the current Shrek movie.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? Like, like I said, it's the best video game movie that's ever been made, I think.
I agree.
All right.
Well, I would add that also Alfred Molina's character in the film,
yes,
super funny.
Yes.
He steals the scene whenever he's on camera.
He's like this
camera.
This Bedouin libertarian. And I actually want to talk with a good friend of the site, Christian, about this, because he didn't like the movie, and I wonder how much of that is because the film is very Amerocentric.
Yeah.
Like, Alfred Molina is always talking about the Persian Empire's taxes and how the government's always in his face and how the government's always kind of getting down on the small business owner and that he just hates taxes and any kind of government interference. And that's something you have to deal with every single day in America.
Mm-hmm.
People complaining about the government and taxes in particular.
Yeah.
Also, there's this whole thing about them invading the kingdom looking for weapons that they were going to attack the empire with.
This might be spoiler territory.
Oh, come on. Yeah, okay, sure. Spoiler territory.
Okay.
Yeah, so spoiler alert. Just like we didn't find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, Persia didn't find weapons of mass destruction in India.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's this whole, like... And again, we've lived with this for the past 10 years with the war on terror in America. We did not find any weapons there. And what's his face?
George Bush.
And Colin Powell and Condi Rice didn't find any weapons of mass destruction, just like Jake Gyllenhaal and the guy from Coupling Sir Ben Kingsley didn't find any weapons of mass destruction in the kingdom that they invaded.
Yes, yeah, it's absolutely true.
It's a little on the nose.
Yeah, well, it's very tongue in cheek. Yeah, yeah. And it's not a big deal in the film. So
yeah.
One thing I also want to add is that I think the environment is cool. And yeah. I like the idea of setting a film with that kind of admittedly orientalist atmosphere.
Yep.
But as I remember fondly of the game, it felt very atmospheric to me and was one of the games early on that thrived a lot on atmosphere and on that type of magical storytelling and making it feel like you're part of one of the 1001 Nights stories.
Mm-hmm.
The movie doesn't have that.
Yeah,
in my opinion, except for the first maybe 25 minutes, the rest of the film takes place in the desert, sure, but it doesn't have the appeal of feeling really magical. Other than that, you know, I think it's kind of fun. I'd recommend seeing it if you've got nothing else to do, but, you know, I don't even think it's one of Jerry Bruckheimer's best. So.
Well, he just stamped his name on it.
True.
He didn't do anything.
I don't know, man. As the producer, like, he knows where to put the money.
Well, yeah, I mean, and he got big actors to do it.
Yeah,
and,
but I mean, even the visual effects, I don't think were fantastic.
It's also interesting that Jordan Mechner seems to be involved in it a bit. I think he wrote at least one initial draft of the screenplay.
Probably the first 25 minutes.
And they credited him fairly prominently. And so I think that helped a lot give it that Prince of Persia feel.
Yes.
It had his stamp on it a little bit, and I think that helps. I think it helps having the actual creator of the franchise in. You were annoyed that they didn't go back in time a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, the center of the movie, for Christ's sake, it's called The Sands of Time.
Yes.
Okay, so we are in spoiler territory,
yes.
Right?
Okay.
He probably uses the sands maybe four times.
Yeah.
There are scenes in the trailer where the prince pulls off these amazing things. Jake Gyllenhaal is, you know, climbing up a wall by grabbing onto arrows.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you get the sense in the trailer that the reason he knows how to do that is because he knows where those arrows are going to land, right? That doesn't happen. All of the cool things that happen in the film happen because people are just badass for no fucking reason. The number of times that people dodge a blade of some form flying at their face is upwards of 10 times. It's ridiculous.
It's
Everyone
very much
does
like
it.
The stormtroopers can't fire straight, so these guys, you know, the
like,
enemies can't fire straight
Ben
either.
Kingsley dodges arrows in slow-mo.
Yeah.
This no-named NPC, well, I think he has a name, I just don't remember it,
yeah.
Dodges knives
several
times. The prince dodges arrows countless times.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I give them more leeway with that because it would get weird if they... Because the game, it's...
What, with magic? I mean...
Well, it's very... The game handles it in a very video game way. Like, you have a sand meter and you fill it up by stabbing dudes and it's like a numerical function. You can rewind this amount of seconds because you have X number of sand tanks. And it's hard to communicate that on screen without a HUD.
Yes.
So, like,
We could have had a HUD. I could have been okay with that.
So in the movie, when
little,
you don't know, like,
over there in the little white box,
you don't have like a life bar, and like you can't. And also, I think you can't do the sand thing too many times, or else the audience it becomes normal for them.
I disagree. Look, okay, the movie had a couple magical things to it, right? The Sand of Time was a major magical plot point. This was driving the story forward.
Yeah.
However, they ripped off of Lord of the Rings and put in some Nazgul who drive around in like whirling dervishes, have mystical power over snakes, whom can swallow swords and not pop.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of magical things that occur in the film are very large.
Mm-hmm.
A very small percentage of those things have to do with the Sands of Time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the problem is that, and again, this is because of people don't realize how special a medium video games are, because the player controls the rewinding time in the game. And that's why it's continually special to them. Every jump that you mess up, you can rewind yourself back and you're doing it. It's still exciting to you because you have control over it. I feel like if they did that in the movie, it would just get kind of boring after a while. It's like, oh, well, there he goes. He's using this magical thing again. Like, all right.
But see, they don't have to show the rewind every time. They only have to show the repercussions. There could have been numerous amounts of time where you see the prince do something really cool without even realizing that he used the sands until afterwards. So, for example, and this connects to the story as well. The story of the Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time video game has the prince retelling the story from the very beginning.
Yeah.
He's the one who's narrating the film,
mm-hmm.
and he's telling the story because he's already experienced it in its entirety.
Yes, he's narrating the entire game from beginning to end.
And, you know, even though it's a little silly that, you know, I don't think Jake Gyllenhaal's British accent is superb,
yeah.
I would have preferred him telling the narrative. I would have mm-hmm. preferred him adding a magical touch to the story, even having him keep some secrets from us.
Mm.
There's nothing that happens in the film that we're not aware of as soon as it happens.
Yeah, we're very much... we're supposed to identify with him as things are happening, I guess. But even in the game, like when you die and you come to the retry section, the prince will say, oh no, that's not how it happened. Let me begin again. You're a bit differentiated from the prince. And yeah. In the movie, you're not. You're kind of meant to feel like you're discovering things with him.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. But it doesn't have that magical sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't use time travel for one. It doesn't use time travel very well, although yeah. I think the scenes were cool.
Mm.
It just doesn't use it to its fullest.
Yeah,
I don't think anything in the film is fully realized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the atmosphere doesn't feel magical enough.
Yeah,
the relationships don't feel genuine enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot in the movie, and the sands is just one example of this magical MacGuffin that drives the film forward. Even though people don't really, it's not really part of the story.
Yeah.
Like most of the important plot points that happen in the film don't really evolve around the use of the sands.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they do, they're very predictable.
It's just trying to get it.
Yeah, it's yeah. just trying to...
It like, is. It's a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One cool scene was, at one point, the prince stabs himself with the sand blade
mm-hmm.
and forces his brother to rewind time to prove it to him.
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah. But it didn't really follow through on that. The very next scene, you know, his brother gets murdered in like a second.
Yeah, but the brother didn't know that was... I mean, that's an okay plot point because the brother couldn't rewind time again. I mean, he didn't know that he was getting murdered.
I'm not criticizing it for that. It just, it doesn't dwell on it at all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't dwell on how fucking cool the Sands of Time are.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. I think your point about the fairy tale and magical type aspect is really good because I think that's what makes the game and the series overall kind of special. Because you're feeling like you're getting various takes on the same legend and how they work and who's telling it to you and why they might be telling it to you, the movie just didn't do that. I don't know. It's hard to make such a cyclical story. That's one of the most impressive things about the game is that you realize at the end of the game that first very first scene in the start menu is actually part of the game.
Yeah.
And it's a big reveal, and it calls into question how happy the ending was as well, because the ending of the game is not that happy.
Yeah.
I mean, he falls throughout the game, he falls in love with the princess, and then has to rewind time all the way back before, when they don't know each other at all, and then leaps into the jungle, probably never to see her again.
Yeah, it's tragic.
And in the and in the movie, he, for no reason, is able to win her over within 2 seconds,
yeah.
even though he's rewound time to a point before she's met him.
Although, even that is confusing, by the way. How the hell does he rewind time to that point?
Well, that was just a lucky All coincidence right. of right. the plot. I mean, that was like a contrivance completely. But, you know, again, Pharah was a much better character, I think, yeah. in the video game. And she was still thin. I mean, we were talking about how the princess and the prince, there's never any real good reason why they get together, except that I guess they just kind of are having fun flirting with each other.
Yeah, it's destiny, yeah.
Totally. But I mean, even in the game, there's this point where you wake up as the prince and the princess is kind of like cradling you and like trying to nurse you back to health.
Yeah.
For no real good reason. I mean, as far as I can tell, you invaded her country and were set to like rape and pillage the entire kingdom. Yeah. And then she kind of like starts getting, you know, attracted to the prince. And then, you know, eventually they get it on at a certain point in the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it follows like, the same, like, kind of sexist stereotype.
Yeah.
Sure.
But at least it undoes all that stuff at the end of the game. The prince can't take advantage of any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And in this one, he has his cake and eats it too. Right?
Yeah.
Like, everything. All his friends are now alive. All the bad guys are dead. Everything is what it should be. And plus, he got the princess at the end.
Yeah.
Everything turns out great for him.
Yeah.
Which in the game, everything doesn't turn out so great.
Yeah, because there are consequences. Yeah, it would have been nice. And again, I think that's part of the magical feel of it, right? the game does something that is really cool, which is it's a story in a different medium than we're used to.
Yes.
But it's still a story about storytelling.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And the film doesn't do that. It's not about using the medium of the film to tell a story about stories and how important they are and how interactive even.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
It's super cool that the game is interactive in a storytelling that is functionally saying, we took a linear story,
mm-hmm.
meaning time itself is linear, and now yep. it's not linear anymore because yep. you've been involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, and that's something that the video game did really well.
Yep.
The fact that the prince at the end of the film does not tell the princess what actually occurred
yeah.
was a huge flaw in my book. I yeah. think it would have been really cool to see him telling her and try to convincing her, I did all these things. I know you. You know, you backed mm-hmm. me up. I'm the savior. I fucking saved the world. Check it out. You know, and earn that.
And that's what they do in the game. At the very end, the prince refers to the princess by the nickname that they have for each other. And she freaks out because she's never told anyone that, let alone some random guy that happens to jump into her bedroom.
Yeah, whom she thinks is a rapist.
Yeah, and then he just leaves after saying that.
Yeah.
And so it would be hard to live up to what the game did, but I think it's also really easy to look back on the game fondly and kind of gloss over some of the flaws that the game had. And
yeah.
I think, you know, it's hard to shed all the baggage that the game has. And, you know, the movie just carries some of that baggage with it.
Yeah.
As far as the combat and stuff. Yeah.
I played the game again recently.
Yeah.
Instead of giving it to you right away, I decided to play through half of it.
Yeah.
And I've already played through The Sands of Time like four times or so. And I realize now that it's not as good as I remember it. It definitely is not. And I definitely look upon it with nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
But it was well ahead of its time. It did some things that, you know, God of War does.
Yep.
And I realize, like, wow, this does half the things that God of War does great. This mm-hmm. game does great.
And also, I was thinking to myself when I was playing it, like, especially Uncharted 1 is basically The Sands of Time.
Yeah.
Like how Drake moves and how he swings from thing to thing and how he climbs on walls and just the way the 3D environments are constructed is a textbook, like page for page taken from The Sands of Time.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that until I replayed it and kind of saw what they were doing in that game and where things have gone since.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, you can't do that in a movie because you're not holding the control.
Of course, and you know, I don't want to get across that we're judging the Prince of Persia movie only based upon
yeah.
its comparison to the game.
Yeah.
Because as a movie on its own, like we said, you know, it stands up to a little bit of scrutiny. You know, it's okay.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, it's as long as you don't. I don't know. It was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
I don't think I liked it as much as you did.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the characters were shallow. I didn't buy the relationships. I didn't buy. A lot of the movie is founded upon believing that these brothers have a brotherly relationship.
Yeah.
And that they have a fatherly relationship with their father and uncle. Didn't buy that for a second.
The moment really
Ben Kingsley's on screen, you know he's the fucking bad guy.
Yeah. Come on. they wouldn't just have him in for a bit part.
No, like, and some of the story could have been told, shown a bit. I mean, the fact is, the movie, in my opinion, is a little bloated with exposition and useless aspects of the story, useless plot mm-hmm. moments. They could have scrapped that, told some things about
yeah.
their history.
Yeah.
It actually reminded me of The Prince of Egypt.
Yeah.
The cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of a similar way that they set up the story.
Yeah, and it just, you know, that was, I think that movie's really good. But
is there time rewinding in it?
There's not time rewinding. But there are more snakes.
All these motherfucking snakes.
Fucking snakes. real quick, do you think that there's a lot more juice in the franchise after seeing this movie? Does it change your perspective on any of the Prince of Persia games?
Uh-huh.
And do you think that, you know, maybe they should have made a movie out of the newer film?
Yeah, I feel like this movie was influenced by the newer game as far as, the, you know, the Nolan North style prince
yeah.
and the Elika style princess. I think she was a little bit more like Elika than she was Farrah.
Yeah, and their banter was witty. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah, it was, like, clever enough and, like,
I mean, heavily gendered and stuff, but it was fine.
This is a genre piece.
Yeah, totally.
It is a pulp genre piece. It might as well be Indiana Jones in mystical Persia.
Yeah, definitely. Or and, like a James Bond movie to some
exactly,
extent.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and that's what it's doing. Just like the Prince of Persia game is a video game equivalent of a genre piece. It is a platformer
yeah.
that also tells stories that tie into other genre mm-hmm. pieces, like fantasy and, you know, the Arabian Nights thing that you were talking about. I mean, they have a lot more Prince of Persia games to make movies out of.
Yeah, definitely.
And if this does well enough, which I don't know if it will.
I don't. It's really not doing well so far.
I'm way more interested to see what they do next with the Prince of Persia, because it feels like every game that they release of the Prince of Persia does something new. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not good, at least it tries to do something new. And it's like telling the same basic tale, which is the story of like a rogue and a damsel in various ways, through various means of rules and mm-hmm. gameplay. And so I'd rather see it continue in that direction. I mean,
it's funny because the movie made me actually realize, I think the story from any of the other games would have been better in terms of this actual story itself.
Interesting.
I mean, even the newer Prince of Persia, I mean, people listening to the podcast for a long time know Scott and I really like the newest Prince of Persia.
Yes.
Game. Sorry, not the newest Sands of Time one.
Yes. The 2008 Prince of Persia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that story would have been more compelling.
Yeah.
Frankly, especially in a movie form. Less action.
But the ending is not Hollywood friendly. So, you know, like.
Why it's so good.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up there. If you folks want to write in with your thoughts on either the game, the movie, or how they interact, feel free. Our email address is experiencepoints@gmail.com.
If you want to rewind this podcast and listen to it from the beginning, knowing what you know now, you can. It's pretty amazing. You can also, amazingly, leave your comments in the comment section to this podcast, as well as any of the posts we make on the website experiencepoints.blogspot.com. We update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings, so come check us out.
All right.
We'll be there.
Until next time, folks.
Play the Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time video game.
All right, take it easy.
Bye-bye.